Hello, my name's Philip. Welcome to this 633 podcast series, One Big Story. It's the story of God and the story of his book, the Bible. But of course, it's so many other stories too, as we're going to see a little bit today in this theme episode. What I'm looking to do in this series is just unpack the great overarching themes of this story that is the Bible. So join with me as we move into episode 3 with our second theme, the people of the Bible. Of course, it's impossible to deal with all the people in the Bible just in one short session. There are probably around 3,000 people mentioned in the Bible, but for many of them, of course, it's no more than a mention. It's a name in a list of names. It's part of a family tree, and that so many of them are like that. But there are some big names in there, names that we will all know if we've ever looked into the Bible or heard any of the Bible stories. There are people that we're going to look at today, like Samuel and David, big characters on the stage of the Bible. There's Isaiah and Jeremiah we're going to touch on as well, those great prophets. In the New Testament, there's Paul and there's Peter, of course, there's Jesus too. But these apostles to the Gentiles, Paul and Jews for Peter. We're going to look as well, though, at some of the relatively less well-known people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there's people like Jabez. Some people will have heard of him, but he gets two verses. There are people like Obadiah. There's a man called Tychicus in the New Testament. We're just going to touch on some of these. And again, there's a list of unknowns in the New Testament as well. Paul gives us at the end of Romans in chapter 16 a list of so many of his friends and colleagues that we know nothing about other than a name. And we're going to be looking at how these people found God. Were they seeking after God, or was it that God more found them? How was it that God called them into whatever it was that they find themselves involved with on the pages of the Bible? Was God just sovereignly moving in someone's life, or was there something going on there that caused them just to want to know him and to look for him? One of the things that I think we will see is that in the Bible, the people of the Bible were called by God. They were chosen by God, so often for a purpose, so often for a particular reason. So let's look at these two big characters in the Old Testament, Samuel and David. Of course, they're so related. Their stories overlap for many years. There are two books in the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, we call them. And of course, they're about Samuel. Well, they're not just about Samuel, because in fact, by the time we get to the end of the first book, we find that Samuel has died. So the second book that bears his name is not about Samuel, but it is about the impact of Samuel through David on the life of the nation Israel. But it's interesting that these two men, Samuel and David, had quite a lot in common in some respects. And so what is it that we know about these two people? What are the lessons, some of the lessons anyway, that we can just derive from the pages of the Bible as we read about these two men? Let's start with origins for a moment. I want to read just a couple of verses from the very beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 1, because both of these guys came from pretty uninteresting, relatively ordinary backgrounds. And probably, other than for God's call on their lives, they would have remained unknown. 1 Samuel in chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. So we get a little bit of Samuel's family tree. We find out who his father was, and we find out Elkanah's family tree and where he was from. He was from Ephraim. In some respects, it wasn't one of the big tribes, perhaps like Judah or some of the others, or Reuben, the firstborn. He's one of the lesser tribes in some respects, but that's where he was from. He had a couple of wives, not uncommon in those days. One was called Hannah, one was called Peninnah, and Hannah had no children. And as we go on with the story, we discover that Hannah was Samuel's mum because she came to God, she sought after God, she prayed for a child, and God granted her prayer. And Samuel was born and was dedicated to God. So from a family that actually, when we read about it, we find some serious dysfunction going on there, some real difficulty going on and stress and strife, particularly between these two women. And Peninnah had children, would look down on Hannah, but Elkanah really loved her, and perhaps he gave her more attention than he gave Peninnah. And perhaps that was part of the strife and the tension that was there. And this little boy came out of that background, out of that environment. Not everybody in the Bible came out of a great background. So many of them come out of difficult environments. So Samuel was eventually born to this family, this dysfunctional, in some respects, family. We just jump a little bit further on in the story into chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. We hear about God encountering Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, verse 8. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This little boy, just a youngster, primary school age, very likely. And God begins to speak to him. We read in those verses, it was a third time. God had called a couple of times, and Samuel didn't know God personally. He never experienced God speaking to him before. So he went to Eli. And poor old Eli had got so detached from really what the call on his life was that he failed to realize that God was calling this little boy. Eventually, he did. And he said, "This is what you need to do. Go and ask God to speak to you." And God spoke to him. Now, this is a crucial part of Samuel's story. In fact, probably the crucial part of the whole of Samuel's story. Samuel learnt to hear God speak to him. And the rest of his life, from that point on, is essentially the history of Samuel hearing God speak. He was a great prophetic figure. He wasn't from the priestly line, but he was a great prophetic figure. And because he heard God clearly, he led Israel for years. In fact, he was so significant in Israel, having come from this dysfunctional, relatively unimportant family, he becomes so central to the history of Israel that he's the one who appoints the king, King Saul, and later appoints David to become King David. In chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, we read that the Lord was angry with Saul. Saul had failed to live up to the promise that was on his life. He'd failed God, he'd rebelled in some respects against God, and the Lord says to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord hasn't chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We'll not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him, had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." This is how David was called. We've heard how Samuel was called, a voice in the night. This is how David was called. David, just the youngest in this long list of lads and of men, and disregarded, he's just looking after the sheep. But Samuel hears God again and calls David to be king and anoints him. Just a teenager and called by God. That was David. Just perhaps a primary school child, Samuel, and God calls him. Ordinary backgrounds, not from priest family, not from a royal family, but called to be a prophetic figure to the nation, called to be the king of the nation. You see, the roles of these two people were so significant in the history of Israel, but they had no history and no background to call upon. Do you remember what God said about David? That he looks on the heart, not the outward appearance. He said it to Samuel about David. "This is how I look. I don't look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart, Samuel." And he just still does. And it's your heart and it's my heart. It's not my background. It's not your background. It's not our history. It's not how good our family was or our education was. His heart, your heart, my heart, is what counts before God. Those are the people that God is looking for. People with a heart for God, a heart after God, whether great or small, whether important or apparently insignificant, whether rich or poor, whether educated or not. God is looking today at your heart and my heart, and he still has a call upon our lives as he did on these two men, Samuel and David. When we go further on in the Old Testament, we come across Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's a bit different. Seems to be a different kind of story. Isaiah may well have had some link with royalty, may have had association with the priestly line as well. But when Isaiah is called, he's called by God with a heart for the poor. He's called by God with a heart for the marginalized. And he reveals God's purpose for Messiah. We read in chapter 6, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. The seraphim, each with six wings, were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Isaiah might have had a royal background. He may have had priestly connections. But he recognized before God his smallness and recognized God's greatness. Jeremiah too came from a priestly line. His father was a priest. And in Jeremiah 1 verse 4 we read this: "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" Jeremiah too knew he was insignificant in the grand scheme of the events of his nation. He was insignificant in the grand scheme of this call that God placed on his life. But he understood, as did Isaiah, as did Samuel, how to hear God and how to speak that out to his people. And both of these great prophets spoke into the issues of their day, into issues of sin and injustice and worship and corruption and caring for the vulnerable and leadership and kingship. And they both looked forward to a greater day, deliverance of Israel from exile, the coming of Messiah and the new covenant. And just like prophetic ministry today, just like us today, we need to hear from God and we need to look at the issues of our day and know what he's saying to us about those issues of the day, about those issues of our lives, and always point forward to what God is doing, what God is doing in his world, what God's plans and purposes are for his people, and how his kingdom interacts with and yet supersedes everything else that is going on. Ordinary people with an extraordinary God, able to speak into massive issues of state, of justice, and of God's kingdom. And that's you and me. And that's you and me. We're no more disqualified than these people were, these great people. No more disqualified than these two great people in the New Testament, Paul and Peter. Do you know what Paul said about himself in Galatians chapter 2? "For by God's power I was made an apostle to the Gentiles, just as Peter was made an apostle to the Jews." Do you know, Paul and Peter didn't always see eye to eye. They didn't always get on. They had a fallout, serious fallout. In fact, Paul had a couple of serious fallouts in his ministry. But nevertheless, God took these men, flawed men. We know the story of Peter in the Gospels, a flawed man. We see the story of Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. He was a flawed man too. And God took these people. Their origins, like Samuel and David, are irrelevant. Peter, just a humble fisherman. Paul, an educated Pharisee. But those are not the issue with God. He's still looking at the heart. He's still coming with a call upon people's lives. Jesus said to Simon and to Andrew in Mark 1, "Come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people." I can change your life. I can transform your perspective on life. He did the same with Paul, of course called Saul initially. In Acts chapter 9, Saul was still breathing out, we read, murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. But what happened? As he went on the way towards Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." These huge characters in the beginnings of the early church, Paul and Peter. Peter that preached that first gospel message on the day of Pentecost. Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament and took the good news at least as far as Rome, if not into Spain. But both human, both with failings, both with weaknesses, yet called by Jesus. Big men, big people in the scriptures. And there are some little people as well. Little people that scarcely get a mention. Mentioned Jabez earlier. He prayed a prayer. It's 2 verses long. But you know, centuries later, there have been books written about this prayer of Jabez. It says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain." And God granted his request. What if the call on your life and my life is to pray a prayer that will change a situation? What about Obadiah? Not the Obadiah that wrote the prophetic book. There's another Obadiah in the Old Testament. And he actually was the servant of King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament. But he had a faithful, God-fearing servant, Obadiah. It says of him in 1 Kings 18 that Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. And while Jezebel, Abel's wife, was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Simple and practical. Obadiah was simply preserving those who would turn people back to God. He just did a simple thing, kept some people safe, made sure they stayed alive. And he's in the Bible. He was a significant man for God. There's Tychicus in the New Testament as well. He was Paul's messenger. In fact, he took the news about Paul to other people. He was a postman. He was a postman for Paul's needs. Paul writes of him in Colossians 4, "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." What an accolade for a postman. a dear brother, a faithful servant, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Look at the list of men and women in Romans 16 that Paul identifies. People who've supported and encouraged and helped him and strengthened him. And there are so many other little people in the Bible, insignificant, but they made a significant impact somewhere on a life, on a situation. They prayed a prayer into a situation. What is it that makes them? What is it that makes you and me significant? It's the call of God. It's the call that Jesus places on our lives. In the Bible, there are many people who rejected God's call and rejected Jesus' call as well. And God has given people that choice. But you know, we find our identity, our significance, and our security in responding positively to the call of God on our lives, as these people did, and so many more in the Bible as well. When you read the Bible next time, look out for the people. Look out for their responses. Are they responding positively to God? Are they standing back from him? Are they rejecting and denying him? Find out what the lesson is. You can learn as they interact with God, as they interact with Jesus. What can we learn about our own lives and the call that Jesus wants to place on us? There are no insignificant people in the Bible. They may just be a name, but they're part of a whole family, a whole nation of people. They may just be a name. They may just be a person who prayed a prayer, who gave a cup of cold water, who carried a message. And God took hold of them, put a call on their lives, and made that call, made that cup of water, made that care that they offered to somebody else significant in his kingdom. Let's pray together. Let's pray that we'll discover that's where our significance is, in the call of God on our lives. Not what other people say about us, not what gets written about us or fails to get written about us, not how many people know us, but the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has a call on your life today. Known or unknown, famous or ordinary, God has a call for you and for me. And when he calls, your choice and my choice is to respond or not. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, as we think about some of these people in the Bible and so many more, so many amazing men and amazing women that we can look at and consider in the Bible. Some of them who said things like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Some who said like Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Lord, may we have these kinds of responses to your call. When you call upon us, when you say, "Come, follow me," when you say, "Go, do that," when you say, "Speak here, encourage there, share a word of scripture with that person," as you speak to us, Father, help us to be responsive. Holy Spirit, set us apart. Set us apart to really carry the gospel, the good news of Jesus in our lives. Set us apart that we may truly be your ambassadors to a waiting, watching, and needy world. Lord, may we be the ones who, like Simon and Andrew, James and John, got up and followed you when you called. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with me again on this podcast. I hope it's encouraged and helped you. There'll be another one next month, the first of the next month, and we'll be looking at the favour of God that we see in the scriptures. Do join me for that and do connect on Facebook, on Twitter, just connect online on the website. Find me on YouTube and follow there. Just like and subscribe. But the Lord bless you and the Lord be with you. And together may we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is Philip from 633 saying goodbye and God bless.